Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres begin the final series of the season up in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. And our hosts Jesse Agler and Kurt Bevacqua feel like it was just yesterday we were kicking off spring training in Arizona.
My, how time flies.
Boy, no kidding.
Right?
Yep, the 2015 season was nothing if not speedy.
I think this year has gone quicker than any other baseball season I can remember.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bevacqua.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, Friday night edition. Ooh!
Friday night edition.
Like the happy hour edition of Social Hour.
I like happy hour.
There you go. We're at the AMR studio here at Petco Park, where there will be no more Major League Baseball until April 4th. How about that? Like 186 days from now, I believe. And you know who will be playing? The Padres and the Dodgers. How about that? April 4th, 2016 will be the next time there's a regular season big league game here, 186 days from today. Before that, three more big league games for the Padres, but up in L.A. against the Dodgers, and that starts tonight.
So anything here to celebrate? I mean, the season's over. We've worked hard.
Oh, for us, you mean?
Put in a lot of time.
Yeah, well, Blooper can celebrate the open working today. Oh, wait, no, he can't because it didn't. It didn't, the video. Didn't work at the beginning. But, no, can we celebrate? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, you and
how
I.
How do you feel
We've
about
never celebrated anything.
Are you going to be here Monday?
Yes.
Monday we're going to celebrate.
Oh, we are.
The season is going to be over, and we're going to do a show anyway, Monday at 5:30. And a bunch of different people are stopping by. Randy is going to be on a trip with the wife. I understand that. So he will not be here. But I think most of the other cast of characters will be swinging by. At some point on Monday's show. So, yeah, we'll do a little celebration. Maybe a sparkling grape juice toast or something like that.
Okay.
You know, or something else. I don't know. We'll see.
There you go.
That's Monday. Before that, three games against the Dodgers beginning tonight. Casey Kelly out on the mound for the second time as a starting pitcher this season. The first start was kind of an interesting one. He had the rough first couple of innings. He allowed the six runs. And then the next thing you know, he retired 11 straight guys. So hopefully he picks up right where he left off then tonight against the Dodgers. I imagine for him, it'll feel a little bit different tonight. Like, it's not the first anymore. He's gotten that out of the way, and now he can just sort of get back to pitching.
The good thing about it is he's facing the Dodgers. And anytime you face a club like that, whether, you know, the tradition of baseball in the National League with the Cardinals, the Pirates, the Mets to a degree, and naturally the Los Angeles Dodgers, you get some extra adrenaline flowing. And I think that'll be good for him tonight. His ERA a little misleading because of those couple of innings.
Yeah.
And I look for him to pick up where he left off. I really do.
I like that. He'll go up against Alex Wood, who had one of his best starts of the season early September against the Padres here at Petco. He threw seven shutout innings. He's been really good at home as of late, and that's who the Padres are up against. There will be no Myers. There will be no Upton. Justin, there will be no Kemp in the starting lineup tonight. Various degrees of dinged and nicked here in these final three games of the season. And so that means the starting lineup is different looking, and it means that Cody Decker is going to be in the starting lineup today for the very first time in a big league uniform. He is starting at first base. And Cody is, as a lot of people might know, great personality, right? You know, the career minor leaguer finally getting the call up. Tonight he will start in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. He grew up in Santa Monica. He grew up a Dodger fan. Here's this, okay? So Cody was here the other day. He hosted the show before the game. It was outstanding. Listen to what Cody said about looking forward to this weekend against the Dodgers.
I'm still looking for that first start.
Got
to be in L.A.
That'd be awesome.
You know, wouldn't it?
Because I'm from Los Angeles.
Right.
I grew
UCLA.
Up going. I went to UCLA. I would love
to
go. I think
you were a starter there.
I did. I started a couple of times. I hit like 50 home runs there at UCLA. I had a lot of fun at UCLA.
Beautiful campus.
Great campus. Great people. Coach John Savage still there. We have conversations that are fantastic and sometimes awkward. And man, I loved UCLA. I still work out there every day during the offseason. I'm there every day.
I think it'd be a perfect start at Dodger Stadium.
It would be awesome. And then this is of course in no way anything against Dick Enberger, any of our announcers who are all fantastic and Dick is obviously a legend, but you know, I grew up on Vin Scully's voice, so I've always kind of wanted to have one at bat that Vin Scully announces, so he could tell a story about me that I don't even know. Because
does he have that much time before the?
He always seems like he always has. Okay. I mean, I could turn on the middle of a Dodger game, and
you'd have to take a couple pitches.
Yeah. Oh, I will. Which is going to be very hard for me. But right. But I'm just going to sit there. Like you turn on the middle of a Dodger game, you just hear Vin Scully in the middle of a story that he started 3 innings ago that has nothing to do with baseball. He's like, and he went outside and he heard the dog. But it turned out it wasn't his dog. It was the neighbor's dog. So there's that story. Oh, 3 outs. See you next inning. And I'm like, wow, that was fascinating. Because I was actually glued to the screen and wanted to know more about the dog that had nothing to do with the player or baseball.
So your dream, and it's a great dream to have Vin Scully calling at bat for you. So what a letdown it must have been that I was the person narrating your first major league at bat in Arizona. I mean, you talk about like just the two ends of the spectrum right there. You grow up hoping and wishing and dreaming for Vin Scully to call a major league at bat of yours, and then it's this clown for the first time you step out.
Well, hopefully Vin Scully will call in a bat of mine beating the Los Angeles Dodgers.
This weekend, that'd be
fun. That would be awesome because, I'm much to the chagrin of probably everyone in here, I grew up a Dodger fan. Not anymore. I want to destroy them. So you guys will be happy about that. So don't think that I'm rooting for them now. I want them to lose to me.
All right. So that was the other day with Cody Decker. We sort of said, hey, getting a start in L.A. would be really cool. He goes into how neat that would be to have Vin Scully, the greatest baseball announcer of all time, describe maybe his first major league hit or whatever it is. And so wouldn't you know, the world, it smiles upon Cody Decker. He gets his first start tonight at Dodger Stadium. However, take a look at this. Vin Scully has a cold and will miss this weekend series against the Padres. I'm not laughing that Vinny has a cold, and I hope he has the speediest of recoveries. So that he can do their playoff games on the radio up there. But poor Cody Decker.
Vin might go to the game just because of Cody. And just do one inning.
Just do an inning?
Yeah, so he can announce. Because I know I talked to him yesterday.
Yeah. Cody or Vin?
Cody.
Okay.
And he's ready to have it taped and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the game. Because I'll never forget Bob Shepard in
Yankee Stadium. Sure. Announcing you coming to the plate.
That was cool. Just the way he used to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so cool.
What number were you?
21.
Second base?
Yes.
Second baseman. Number 21, Kurt Bavakwa. Yep. Second base. Very cool.
Yep. It was cool. I don't have the audio on it. I wish I did.
Yeah, no.
You don't think of those things.
Of course. Of course not. Cody Decker is thinking of these things. And
well, with technology the way it is today.
No, that's true. Yeah, easily accessed.
That's correct. So it's so now I'm sure Cody wondered what he was going to be doing next year when he was at the airport in Los Angeles collecting his bags when he got the call. I don't think there's any doubt now.
Mm-hmm.
He's back.
Oh, yeah, he's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
Got to be back. Got to give it a shot. So, anyway, Cody Decker will make his first major league start. It will be at first base tonight. And all of that is outstanding. We're happy for Cody, and we're excited, and we'll celebrate along with him when hopefully he gets his first major league hit tonight. Hopefully it's a home run to win the game. But it will not be Vin Scully. But, hey, he's got Enberg, doing it on television. He's got Teddy doing it on radio. And then some combination of Charlie Stein or Rick Monday on the Dodger side. So still some pretty serious baseball voices who will be narrating Cody Decker's first major league
Absolutely.
Start tonight.
Is Cody the only one left that hasn't gotten a hit?
Well, Gale got the hit.
Yeah, Gale got his.
I believe he's
good. He is.
I believe everybody else is set.
So he's got to get it tonight.
It works for me, man.
Yeah,
Sign me up. All right, so anyway.
I wish Kershaw was pitching.
So Kershaw is supposed to pitch on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting you bring that up because he was supposed to face James Shields on Sunday. Right? Tomorrow is Erland Grinke. We mentioned that tonight it's Alex Wood for the Dodgers and Casey Kelly for the Padres. So Sunday was supposed to be Shields and Kershaw. And I got to tell you, earlier this afternoon I was kind of thinking about that. I said, that's kind of a fun way to end the regular season, right? Couple of aces on a Sunday afternoon, 12:10 start at Dodger Stadium. Just kind of mowing everybody down. And a few minutes ago, Pat Murphy discussing things with reporters at Dodger Stadium. James Shields will not start Sunday. Sunday's game. The club will go bullpen by committee, kind of take a look at the different arms. This shouldn't be any sort of major surprise. This kind of thing happens all of the time. Shields is fine. It's just, all right, let's take a look at some guys and kind of piece it together. So there will be no Shields Kershaw on Sunday at Chavez Ravine.
Like they're really going to make a decision on Sunday.
Yeah.
On a guy for next year.
I mean, I get it, though.
Yeah.
I get it. It's sort of part of the deal. It's sort of part of the deal.
What about Erlen? He can't pitch again, right?
No, tomorrow. He's starting tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
He's starting tomorrow against Zach Greinke.
So he's good. So we get to see both Kelly and Erlen before the end of the year.
Correct. Tonight
Robbie
and then tomorrow.
Robbie pitched great last time.
He really did. He really did. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. And seven innings. How many times this year has a Padres starter gone seven? Not enough is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to do it the other day, I thought was really impressive, particularly when you consider how his start in Colorado went. And yeah, it's Colorado, but still, you know, just from the psychological confidence standpoint, that can't help getting knocked around the way he did at Denver. And then to come back here, and he was outstanding.
He really was outstanding
last week.
He did one heck of a job.
He did. He absolutely did. All right, so that's the way this whole show sets up. As always, you can join our conversation on Twitter. Use the hashtag PadresSH. That's how you ask your questions and make your comments and everything like that. The hashtag is PadresSH. We got a lot to talk about today. We'll obviously get into tonight's game. When we come back, though, we'll talk about yesterday, a nice closing day victory here at Petco Park over the Milwaukee Brewers. Some fun things to discuss, including an outstanding outing by Ian Kennedy in what may have been his final appearance in a Padre uniform. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break, come back, talk about yesterday's win over the Brewers, and take your questions, your comments, and all the rest. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Back on Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Kurt Bevacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Friday night baseball at Dodger Stadium coming up. Casey Kelly and Alex Wood. First game of three between these two teams. Final three games of the season. And then, as we said, if you look forward 186 days from now, these same two teams will open up next season right here at Petco Park. Weird game times this weekend, by the way. 7:10 tonight, 6:10 tomorrow. 12:10 on Sunday.
We've had that a few times this year.
Yeah.
There was one stretch, three or four games, where all the game times were different.
Yes, that's right.
I think it
right.
was a four-game series.
Yeah, it was the four-game series with the makeup game in there against Colorado.
That's right.
Because the makeup
right.
game was like at 12:40 or whatever. So, yeah, you had a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, four different game times. Over the weekend, that's a little bit more common. But, you know, 12:10 is unusual for Sunday. So just be aware of that. You know, when you're planning out your weekend – 12:10 first pitch on Sunday, 6:10 first pitch tomorrow.
I think it's just one of those deals where the Dodgers just can't wait for the season to be done.
Well, they'll lose quickly enough in the playoffs, and then it will be. And then it will be.
Talking about the extended season.
Oh, you didn't mean that. Oh, okay, my bad.
The regular season.
My bad. I thought you were.
I like your thought process.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you did. Let's look back, though, for a moment. Yesterday afternoon, speaking of weird start times, 3:40 yesterday in the closing day of a final game at Petco Park, a 3-1 win over Milwaukee. I don't think there's any place other to start than Ian Kennedy. Six innings, one run, five hits, and 11 strikeouts yesterday. In control, in command, heading into free agency.
You know what? He's really thrown good the last half of the season, and I think the free agency probably has a lot to do with it. I mean, it's amazing how an athlete can reach deep and grab whatever they need to grab when they know that there's something out there, whether it's to save your life at the major league level or to make your bundles and buckets of more money, which I think is Ian's situation. I think he's going to do well, whether the Padres offer him a contract or whether or not he goes out and signs with someone else.
He really has come on in the second half. Before yesterday, there were a couple of bumpy ones, but yesterday, good changeup, real good changeup. You saw a lot of that, and a good number, I think, of the 11 strikeouts came on that changeup. It was just sort of dying at the last second, and the Brewer hitters were having trouble with it. He was fun to watch yesterday. He really, really was. And there were obviously contributions from other places as well, including, you know, Yanhervis Solarte. Again, a guy that we keep talking about, it seems like, a couple of times a week as really one of the true legitimate contributors in this 2015 season. And a two-run homer yesterday that was the difference in the game.
Did you check him out when he hit that ball?
Oh, yeah, he knows when he gets it.
That was fun.
He doesn't get cheap home runs, Yanhervis Solarte. When he goes deep, he enjoys it.
Check him out right there. Oh, yeah.
I love that, by the way.
I know. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. He knew it was gone. He knew it was fair. And he was just starting a little trot.
He's got real deal power. You know, if we went back and we watched all of Solarte's left-handed hitting home runs at Petco Park this year, not many of them were wall scrapers. They were mostly way out of there, and I know they moved the fences in, and you got that Jack Deck now in right field, but when he gets a hold of one and puts it out to right, it's getting over the old wall more times than not, I think.
No, he has shown some power. He's got it in him. He's got it right-handed too, which kind of surprised me. I think you and I talked earlier in the season when he wasn't getting a lot of at-bats right-handed and he was struggling a little bit to maybe just stay on the left side.
Yeah.
I don't know about that anymore.
The average of the right side has come up as the entire season has progressed, and there was a point when I think he was within maybe 12, 15 batting average points, lefty-righty splits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's that close anymore. I haven't looked in maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks. But there was a point somewhat recently where the gap was really narrowed. And obviously a ton more at-bats, you know, from the left side over the course of the entire season. But I'm with you. I think he's a fine right-handed hitter. We've seen him hit a couple of home runs in the second half of the year from the right side.
So I think we have a lot to look forward to for next year.
He's near the top of that list.
Yeah.
He's near the top of that list. I don't think there's any question. When you start talking about things you're pumped up about for 2016, Yanhervis Solarte needs to be near the top of that list. Another guy who's part of that conversation, the future conversation, is Travis Jankowski. And yesterday, a couple of really nice defensive plays. We're going to make them our Montalvo Tequila smooth plays of the game. First, the throw from right field. My favorite thing in baseball, the outfield assist. It's my favorite thing in baseball. It just is. And an awesome one-hopper right to Derek Norris to cut down a run in the third inning. He was starting for Matt Kemp in right field. And then a nice catch up against that side wall, man. That's like not waist high. That's like cup high, that wall. Is that a nice way to put that?
Yes, it is.
And he kind of goes over there with reckless abandon, as they say, and he makes a nice running catch against the side wall.
You know what I liked about the outfield assist? Because he knew where he was, and he kind of scooted in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that base hit right to him, he's got a good chance to throw the runner out at home. And that's exactly what happened. So he relied on his speed to go back if, in fact, he needed to do that. But he wanted to throw that runner out at home, and he did it. You know, here's another situation of why they shouldn't have changed the catcher's rule.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day.
The catcher reaching back and possibly injuring his arm.
Yeah. No, we you and I got into this conversation. Mm-hmm. I think it's a real conversation to have. The catcher kind of out in front of the plate. He's always going to be swiping that extended left arm to try and make the tag. And we saw one earlier this year that was scary with Norris. You know, whether it's an arm or a hand or an elbow or a shoulder, it feels like there's a lot that can go wrong when you're sort of swiping that tag and the guy could slide right into it and pop something out of place. Better in the long term than a serious head injury. I think that's fair to say. But I do have concerns about catchers' arms in those tag situations now that they're all sort of being taught to stand out in front of home plate.
I just don't know how many catchers have had concussion issues. I really don't. I don't recall any, to be honest with you, after they played. If they got one during the course of their playing career, okay. We might have all had concussions and not even known it,
mm-hmm.
but catchers especially. But
you're saying you haven't seen the long-term medical effects the way you
like
have
with
in
the NFL
football.
Naturally.
Yeah.
But it's a little crazier in the NFL,
sure,
with the way they hit one another.
No, of course.
But it's, you know, it's really something to talk about. I think it's an interesting topic.
Oh, I agree completely. Anyway, those are our Montalvo Tequila smooth plays of the game from Freddie out in right field. Triple distilled, exceedingly smooth, and locally owned Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets crowd. I like watching him play. Spangenberg, too, by the way, another nice game on base three straight times to start it off.
I tell you what, Jankowski's got a little bit to learn,
mm-hmm.
and when he does, he's got a chance to be really exciting. I think he's a little faster than Spangy.
Yes, I agree with that, yeah.
I don't know how much, but I think a little bit.
He is very fast.
The thing that I'm surprised with is he hasn't stolen that much when he's gotten on base, though.
Okay. It's situational. Right. He hasn't.
But you got to let him go.
Yeah. Oh, you got to go
see
back.
See what he can do. Right?
Got to go back and look, though, when he has reached base. And it's probably, if you added up his singles and his walks at this point, it's probably not that huge of a number at this point.
Yeah, he's had a lot of doubles and triples.
And
he just keeps going.
And just not that many at-bats and plate appearances. I'll check that. But, you know, you would have to go back and look at those situations when he's on first base. And if it's a 6-1 game in the – you know, like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or a situation where, you know, maybe you don't want to risk it. Let's see. He's got – so far, 17 hits minus 5 extra base hits. So 12 singles and 4 walks. So it's only been 16 times in his career so far that he's been up there. And he's 2-for-3 stealing. So he's tried 3 times out of 16 that he's been on first base.
See, if I'm that fast, I'm at least 12 out of 16.
Well, that's, again, we'll go back to looking at the situations. But I get what you're saying.
You're right.
I get what you're saying.
But Spangy the other night, the double – that
yes.
he hit that was actually a single.
The base hit to center.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
It's one of the most fun things in baseball.
It really is. You know why? Yeah. Because you can tell that somebody's thinking about doing that as they're getting out of the batter's box. It's not something that you decide to do when you round first base. The decision's already been made for him to pull that and pull it the way he did because he – it was just awesome. We're not talking about a ball in the gap, folks. We're talking about a ball that was almost – right at the center fielder, just off to his left a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Had to run a little bit to get there. Here you are if you're watching on television or online.
God, blooper's good, isn't he?
I mean, that was a little slow. That was a little slow. He's got to be faster than that. that kind of stuff is so much fun, and we've seen a decent amount of it. All right, I want to put a bow on last night's game in a few minutes and talk about the relief corps. We'll do that when we come back, and we'll have some fun. One tweet before we go to break, and remember, hashtag PadresSH to join that conversation. We talked about the Cody Decker, Vin Scully, all that a few minutes ago. Jellyman says, hey, Jesse, that was a pretty evil laugh after announcing Vin had a cold. No, it wasn't supposed to be an evil laugh. I hope it didn't come off that way. It was more of a poor Cody Decker kind of laugh. The guy has dreamed his entire life of having Vin Scully broadcast one of his games, and here he is making his first major league start after all those years in the minors, and it's at Dodger Stadium, and Vin has a guy. It's just like, oh, man, you can't catch a break. But it's not an evil laugh. I wish nothing but a very speedy recovery for Vin.
Absolutely. Vin's a great man.
Absolute best.
67 years next year?
Is that what it is? I don't think it's – yeah, it's something crazy. 52 is something like that. I think it was his first year. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. He came – yeah, he came with a pony, I think, on the Express.
Unbelievable. Just an unbelievable career. All right, a little bit more on last night's game when we return, plus more of your questions, your comments. I want to talk about this Kevin Acey thing a little bit today, too, that he wrote. I just thought it was kind of strange. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy 2 select tires, get 2 free. With quality name brand tires and 16 convenient locations, why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy 2, get 2. Take a break. More Social Hour from the AMR studios right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour. We are at the AMR studio here at Petco Park. Kurt Bavacqua, Jesse Agler, talking about yesterday's 3-1 win over the Milwaukee Brewers. Also a little bit about tonight's game coming up at Dodger Stadium. One thing we did not get to from yesterday's game was the relief corps.
That you're going to get to now.
We're going to do it right now because together, Sean Kelly, Joaquin Benoit, and Craig Kimbrell are our firehouse subs of the game. Oh, they got multiple sandwiches, the subs of the game, because I love the blueprint games, and I probably say that too frequently. Starter goes 6, Kelly, Benoit, Kimbrell, shut her down. And it has worked basically every time, you know, this season. The Padres end up winning those games when they take the lead into the late innings, and that is such a nice place to be. But these guys are fun to watch pitch. They really are.
And you add to the mix Morrow.
Mauer.
Mauer.
Yeah.
Why was I lost there?
Because their Maurer is spelled weirdly, M-A-U-R-E-R, as opposed to like Joe Maurer, M-A-U-E-R. So there's an extra R in there, so it kind of blends it together. Mm-hmm. I've done it. You're in good company.
I just lost it for a second.
And we also haven't seen him in a while. Brandon Maurer, he's been hurt. But he's got to be a big part of the plans next year.
Yeah.
Maybe as a starter, by the way.
That's what I was trying to get to.
Okay, go ahead.
And then you add Norris.
Yes.
The possibilities.
Bud Norris as a possibility.
And then you add Edwards.
Yes. He's looked really good, too.
Some good-looking arms on this staff. So, we can keep him healthy.
You're right. You know, let me read this Firehouse thing, and then let's talk about that, because I think you bring up a really good point. Firehouse Subs, Subs of the Game, those guys. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park, you know, next season when you're here, or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. That's the great thing. You don't have to wait until next year. You can go to Escondido, Encinitas, Point Loma, and get your Firehouse Subs. This year, to me, if you had to, and it's lazy, but if you had to boil it down to one thing that didn't go the Padres' way this year, I would say pitching, just generally. I think that was the biggest issue for this team. And that means starters and that means relievers. And it will look different next year than it did at the beginning of this season. And not just because of normal natural turnover, but because you got some really interesting pieces here. And how will they fit in? Bud Norris has been a starter. Brandon Maurer has been a starter. John Edwards comes over in the Venable deal. He's looked really good in the back end of the bullpen. All of this, Sean Kelly's a free agent, so who knows what happens with him. Benoit could be a free agent. It's the Padres' option. What do they do there? A lot of different things that they're going to have to decide on.
It's going to be interesting. I say Benoit stays.
Okay.
I say
you're picking up the option?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. So it gives me another half a year to see one of these other kids come into their own, be in a position to put themselves in that eight-inning spot, and then use Benoit for trade bait before next year's trading deadline.
So your theory essentially is, hey, it ain't my money. Because he's going to be owed a really nice chunk of change, you know, next year if they do pick up the option. But I'm with you, by the way.
Yeah.
I agree completely. You know, see if somebody else can step in. And then at the trade deadline, maybe if you're not in it, you can get something for him. If you are in it, well, then you're comfortable with him as your eighth inning guy, you know, moving towards a playoff situation.
And he's throwing the ball well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he's 27.
No.
He's throwing the ball like he's 30.
He gets it done. He's incredible
to
watch. He really is. So, to me, one of the fun things at Petco Park this year, certainly, was Craig Kimbrell.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he blew four saves, and I'm fine with that. I think that's sort of the cost of doing business with most closers. Padres, by the way, 4-0 in those games. But the energy and the excitement when Welcome to the Jungle comes on, it's real deal when he comes into the games. And I think it really one of the true highlights of this season, if you came out to the games, was getting to see Craig Kimbrell pitch in a safe situation in the 98-mile-per-hour fastball and the filthy hard curve and everything else. And certainly he put on a show yesterday in his final game. And in social media, one of the trends right now that's hot in sports for, like, teams and leagues to do is you get a GIF, right? A GIF, which is like one of those videos that doesn't have sound, basically. And you show something funny or exciting happening, and you sort of apply it to an event. So there's, you know, the guy shooting off fireworks, and they would say, Padres win. And, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be related to the actual thing that's taking place. So yesterday, the Padres on Twitter, with Kimbrell coming in one last time at Petco Park, they had sort of one of these stock GIFs of somebody being excited about something. Go ahead and enjoy this one. So this is yesterday, the Padres' Twitter account. For the final time at home this season, it is Kimbrell time. And that is Blooper dancing in left field earlier in September. Just going to leave
Blooper,
that up there for a second.
Star. I would too.
Yeah.
Just leave it up there and talk about the fact that Craig Kimbrell's got 39 saves. I want him to get 40 really bad.
I want him to get 42.
Well, yeah, that would be nice also. But I want him to get at least one out of three.
Yeah.
And I've got a feeling that he will, because I think the Dodgers they're not going to take this series seriously.
It will be interesting to see their approach this weekend. It absolutely will be interesting to see their approach this weekend. They are battling, you know, for home field with the Mets. For that division series, you know, those two teams are going neck and neck down the final weekend here. By the way, the Mets postponed tonight, along with like every other game on the East Coast. So there's going to be like at least three doubleheaders tomorrow. on the next last day of the season, that's brutal.
And there's some games they just absolutely have to get in.
Right. But, I mean, there's some kind of playoff implications.
The American League, yeah. The playoff home field advantage implications, the playoff implications in the American League with the possibilities that's going on over there. You and I talked about it before we went on air today.
Yeah.
The fact that there could be three teams tied for the wild card in the American League. After the season's over.
What a mess.
And if in fact that happens, there's a possibility that one team could play four games in 4 days in four different cities.
Because they would have their final regular season game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have tiebreaker one on Monday in another place. Tiebreaker two, if they won, in the second city on the third day. And then they would start the division series the next day against, you know, whoever.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
A very small chance.
Right.
But it is a possibility. With three games to go, we go into this final weekend. It is still a possibility. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I got some interesting notes about a couple of things around baseball I want to talk about. Also, I do want to address the Kevin Acey column that he wrote today a little bit. I don't want to get too into it, and everybody has their hot takes on Twitter. But I just want to throw in my two cents.
I want to find out what it is.
Okay. I'll fill you in the break.
Read the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, you're very highbrow. You're very high.
That's me.
Petco Park will host its first college basketball game Saturday, December 5th. That's all part of the Bill Walton Basketball Festival. San Diego State, USD, will compete on an outdoor court on the infield here at Petco Park. Tickets are on sale now at padres.com/bball. Padres.com/bball. Send us your questions and your comments. A beautiful look at the sunset over San Diego Bay. More Padres Social Hour presented by United right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Final weekend of the 2015 season, about an hour away from first pitch at Dodger Stadium. Alex Wood pitching for LA against Casey Kelly for SD.
And who's on first?
Yes, he is. So that's the first game tonight, and then tomorrow and on Sunday, and we'll have our social hours all weekend long, and then Monday, the final social hour of the year, 5:30 p.m. on Monday. There obviously will be no game to preview. It's just sort of the season review, recap, have some fun. Maybe we'll replay the Little John interview. I don't know. Just have a good time on Monday. That's the plan. So we hope you'll join us.
If there'll be any interview replayed, it'll be Bill Walton, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, you blooper maybe. Can you put something together over the weekend? Is that possible? Sort of best of,
you know,
some of the fun interviews we've had. Maybe some of the Cody Decker with the Bill Walton and the Little John. Yeah, that could be fun.
Yeah,
that could be part of Monday. All right. No fun this weekend. You put that together.
Awesome.
We just crushed his weekend plans. We just crushed them.
Good.
Sorry about that blooper. Kevin Acey in the UT today. It went online this afternoon.
Yeah. What is this?
So he wrote a column, and it's basically advice to Padre ownership about the way to handle their baseball business. And I really don't want to get too deep into this. I read it, and it's weird to me because the things he seems to be suggesting, I don't know why he thinks they're not already happening. Is that an okay way to put this? He says, don't do it the same way. And then he continues, let's see what A.J. Preller can do now. He's some sort of brilliant talent evaluator, right? He's a scouting genius, huh? Let him scout. Let him draft and develop. Make a trade and sign a free agent here and there. That's why you hired him. That's right at the start. So his hypothesis seems to be A.J. Preller has been stopped from doing those things, which, like, if anybody has paid any attention to the Padres for the last 10 months, like,
stopped by who?
That's what I don't get. And
Mike
I don't know.
D?
It's just, that's I mean,
Ron
that's his,
Fowler.
No, his whole point is Mike D.
The Seidlers
is in the way.
Oh,
that's his whole column. But like, I don't get that because the things he's saying they should let Preller do, Preller does and has done, and I would imagine will continue to do. So he doesn't really offer any specifics. It's just this sort of vague criticism of Mike D. And it doesn't really make sense. In all honesty, like he's again right at the beginning. Saying, let him scout, let him draft and develop, let him make a trade and sign a free agent. Like, he's done all of those things. He'll continue to do. It's just weird. I don't really get it. And maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm stupid. I didn't really understand what he was getting at.
I'm glad you didn't want to get too deep into it. Because all Kevin has done in the last week or two in San Diego's write columns to tick people off.
Well, that's his job. No, I mean, no, seriously. Look, a columnist's job in a newspaper is to stir it up and get people talking about his column. So I get that, you know, with the Aztec thing and Rocky Long, but this is...
Yeah, but stuff is supposed to be sensible.
That's where I'm... maybe I'm missing something. Like I said, I might be an idiot.
I haven't read it, so I'm going by what you're throwing out here.
You'll see it. You can you know,
okay.
You can digest it, and I don't know. It was weird. It was weird to me. Like I just and again, maybe I'm missing something, and I don't want to get too far into it. But maybe his perception of the way this place is run is his perception. But like, if what he's suggesting is his perception, he's way off. I can say that he's way off. If he really thinks that AJ Preller hasn't done those things, I don't know why he thinks that, but he's wrong.
And you didn't go all the way to the end of the article and him say, "I was just kidding."
No, there was none of that.
Okay. I was just checking.
The last paragraph is, D has done a fine job sprucing up the Petco Park experience. He needs to keep focusing on that. Let's see what Preller can really do his way. AJ Preller has done it his way, man.
Like, that's what Mike hired him for, right?
And Ron and Peter mm-hmm. and everybody else. I don't know. It's just, it came off weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
It came off, and again, maybe he is just trying to stir it up, but it felt like, I don't know, the vision I have is somebody punching in the dark. That's how it comes off to me, is you're just swinging wildly and you're not really sure if you're connecting with anything, and he wanted to write something about Mike and this is the way he did it. I don't know. It just doesn't add up to me. The fact that he's acting as if Preller has had a governor on him or something like that, when the guy went out and had like the wildest offseason in baseball history maybe, seems weird. Like, I don't think anybody was stopping AJ Preller last year.
Only because he hasn't done anything lately.
Maybe that's what it is?
Yeah, that has to be it.
Ever since the Abraham Almonte trade, he's...
That's it.
He's. Yeah. I mean, it was the trade deadline. Free agency hasn't started yet. Maybe that's what Kevin needs explained to him. You can't make trades right now. You got to wait.
That's true.
You cannot sign a free agent yet. I don't know, like I said, and I'm not trying to pick on Kevin. He's a respected...
He'll learn the rules.
...longtime columnist. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. I don't know. That was me. All right. Back to the important stuff. There's been a lot of talk about the roster and with some of these injuries, right? Probably not going to see Upton again. And in fact, Corey Brock, I think of MLB.com, just tweeted, we won't see Justin Upton this weekend. We already knew we weren't going to see Matt Kemp. We don't know about Will Myers yet, but he left the game yesterday with wrist soreness. So that's part of why Cody Decker's starting at first base today. The roster has been thinned a little bit. The bench is a little bit thinned. Alex Dickerson's got that hip thing he's been fighting through a little bit. So I think the question was out there about, you know, if the Padres might add another guy to the active Major League roster for these final three games. Reimer Liriano is down there. Will Middlebrooks, remember him, he's down there. Corey tweeted earlier today, probably not going to add any position players. They feel like they can make it through these 3 days with the guys they already have.
Let the young kids play.
That's it, right?
Yeah,
Let roll them out there.
We're lucky Justin doesn't look like No-Nick Williams today.
Yeah, everything's good. He's swinging a bat again. You know, nothing serious. Some soreness, obviously, for Justin Upton. That was a scary one a couple days ago.
That was crazy.
That was a scary one.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before.
Just kind of slipped and went, like, head first.
I didn't even notice that he slipped. No. I just thought that he was kind of slowing down or
maybe
trying to slow down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he lost his footing. Maybe slipped isn't the right mm-hmm. word. But you know, there was some awkward footing here the game two nights ago.
Oh, I don't even like to watch it.
And so he's just going over to get, you know, the double down the line. And you're right, it's not a slip. He just kind of leans forward and goes head first into that side wall.
He just lost where he was, I think.
Maybe. Very scary, scary, scary
really
moment.
Really was.
As we were talking about head injuries and necks and stuff like that. But luckily all good, you know, as far as serious tests go. And he has been cleared to swing a bat. But that's going to be it for Justin.
Thank goodness for that pad that's on the wall out there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 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 All right, we'll take a break, come back. We got more Social Hour coming up. Hashtag PadresSH if you want to tweet us. Also, a moment between a pitcher and a hitter after a home run last night in Tampa. I want to talk about that. Jose Fernandez and Evan Longoria. Had a lot of craziness this year, right? Last couple years. Pitchers giving up home runs, batters, reactions, bat flips, all that. I want to talk about something that took place at the Trop in last night's game. Hey, Holiday Wonderland is back at Petco Park for the second year, and it is bigger and better than ever. Be transported through a Holiday Wonderland full of fun for the entire family for 12 nights in December. Tickets are on sale now. $15 for adults, just $10 for kids. More info plus tickets are at Padres.com/holiday. Padres.com/holiday. Take a break. Come back. Talk about that moment in St. Pete last night between Jose Fernandez and Evan Longoria.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, we were talking about the Matt Kemp and the Justin Upton and the Will Myers injuries. That certainly plays a part in what the starting lineup will look like for the Pods. Get to that in just a second. The Dodgers dealing with their own injury. Yasiel Puig has had that hamstring thing. They were talking about the miraculous recovery. He's been getting at bats down at their instructional league, and he is going to return this weekend, they're saying. So Puig will be in uniform and is expected to play at some point against the Padres as they try and get him right before the division series against the Mets. All right, let's take a look at the starting lineup for the Padres, brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. All right, Spangenberg leading off at second. Norris catching, hitting second. Solarte will bat third at third. Jerko cleaning up at short. Melvin in center batting fifth. Alexi gets a start in left field, hitting sixth. Decker will bat seventh at first base. Jankowski in right hitting eighth. And Casey Kelly will bat ninth. That is a different-looking lineup for sure. And when two of your starting outfielders, or arguably three, I guess, if you count Myers, are out, things are going to look different. Things are going to look different in the last weekend of the season. That brings us to the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Now get excited, Bavakwa.
I Blooper. Am very excited.
All year, we've been doing this, where whoever's on the couch today, that's you, Kurt, has been picking a guy from the lineup, and Blooper has been picking a guy from the lineup. And whoever had the greatest impact on the game gets a point. We've got three games to go. Look at the standings. Look at the 38-38.
That's good stuff, Blue.
This isn't rigged, by the way. Like, this is, like, legitimately, like, most of them have been pretty easy decisions. There have been a couple, you know, coin flips, but we did what we did. And it's 38-38 heading into the final weekend. So we got to play all weekend. We need to get three in. You need an odd number. Unless, I guess, the same person wins both today and tomorrow. That would clinch it. So the magic number is 2 for both of you.
It's going to put pressure on the other person tomorrow.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Particularly if you lose. If you lose. So Blooper's got the first pick. And Blooper, we just saw the lineup. Where are you going?
Cody Decker.
Wow, I love it. He's going all or nothing.
Yeah.
He's going all or nothing. He's taking Cody Decker.
Why all or nothing?
Because if Decker, like, hits a home run, how do you not give it to him?
Oh, you got to give it to him.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. But he's also 0-5 so far. So he's going Cody Decker. Who you got?
I'm glad you picked Cody Decker. I'm glad one of us picked him.
Okay.
I'll take Corey Spangenberg.
Okay. Spangy and Decker.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow we'll figure out who won, and we'll sort of take it from there. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge at Supercuts. They pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Take a break, come back, and we'll put Kurt on the hot seat real quick before we get out of here. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right. I think anybody who does a show that talks about baseball, at some point this season they've talked about bat flips or throwing at guys or celebrating after home runs or pitchers being butthurt after a guy homers off him, all that kind of stuff. let's take a look here, Bavakwa. Tropicana Field last night. Evan Longoria hits a 700-foot home run off of Jose Fernandez in the bottom of the first inning. 97-mile-per-hour fastball that he puts like 20 rows back at Tropicana Field. And he didn't over-admire it or anything, but, you know, he crushed this pitch from Jose Fernandez. So in the top of the second, the top of the next inning, right, Longoria's at third base. And playing defensively at third base, which is right by the Marlin dugout at Tropicana Field. And Jose Fernandez starts, like, yelling at him from the dugout. And he's saying, hey, you don't have to hit that so far. And he's laughing and smiling. He goes, that's really far. You don't have to hit that so far. This is what we need more of. Guys enjoying the thing. And Longoria says, hey, you put it right there. So I hit it.
Believe it or not.
You're on the Cholula hot seat.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you, that happens more than you think.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it does, and it always has.
All right. I want more of that. I want less of the pitcher being angry that he didn't do his job well enough and more of, man, and granted, it's an established guy in Longoria, which helps. But, like, yeah, let's just enjoy this.
No matter what you, how you feel or how you look at the game, you still want me in your bunker.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
All right. Kurt was on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap. Grace and Randy tomorrow. I'll be at Dodger Stadium working with Mr. Scanlon. And then Sunday. And then Monday, final show of the year.